What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Big Mike BMX. It's your friend Isaac. I've got my homie 80s BMX Craig with me tonight. What's up, 80s BMX Craig?
What's up, Isaac, man? How's it going, brother? Good to be here.
I almost said 80s Craig or, you know, 80s BMX Craig. I didn't know which one to go with. So
I think it's anyone you want to choose, dude. Yeah. It's one of those things.
I went with 80s BMX Craig today because I am in an 80s mood. Let me tell you, dude, I don't know. There's just like, I don't know, a lot of nostalgia, a lot of feels. So
nice.
And yeah, I'm into that, dude. And so like, let's just catch up. You and I haven't had a chance to catch up, y'all. My work schedule, I have a day job, and my work schedule for the last, I think, 2 months, man, has just been working weekends, working, just doing a lot, man. And it's a blessing to have work. It is a blessing to be able to do that and have the skills and the health and the opportunity to do what I get to do and feed my family that way outside of BMX. But, you know, what that does mean is that sometimes this stuff has to take a backseat to real life or my, my immediate family needs. And, you know, my family's always going to trump all this stuff. So it's my fault that we haven't been out here, but your boy is tired.
And so, no, dude, it's fine, man. I think everyone can relate to that, bro. And yeah. and just to, I'm gonna back you up on that, bro. We, you know, things seem to have gotten to where they're getting back to resuming normal speed, if you want to say it that way, because everyone's slammed at work, things have changed. So I got your back, dude. And you're feeling 80s. I'm feeling 80s. Good vibes.
I love it, dude. I'm super psyched. So we're gonna talk some BMX stuff. We are going to talk bike builds. I saw Craig. I want to hear all about this new bike that I've just seen a couple pictures of. And orange is interesting choice for you. So I'm really kind of like, let's talk about this.
Let's do that.
And I'd heard little bits and pieces about it, but I, you know, saw pictures. I want to hear more about it, how that happened. And there's, you know, we'll just kind of catch up. And I've got, you know, I've been building a bike. I just started riding it this weekend and it's been super fun to ride, man. It feels very, very familiar. To be honest, dude, I'm shocked that I like this bike as much as I do. So we'll talk about it. So the bike I have been anticipating for pretty much all year. The SE Killer Quad finally dropped, and I'm seeing it like someone in Phoenix has one. I'm like, dude, this thing, it is a beautiful colorway. And this is, I got a joke, and this, like, dude, okay. I geared my PK Ripper. My geared PK Ripper is polished and purple. Killer Quad comes out, dude. It is a 27.5. polished in purple geared quad ankle.
Of course it is.
And I'm like, dude, this bike is gorgeous. It's a great colorway, you guys. And you no longer have to have my hack job if you want gears on a 27.5. I don't know how I said it that way.
And a 0.5.
A 27.5 sized bike. You can have the Killer Quad that's available. I think it's what $1,099 right now. Find your local dealers for that one. That one is shipping, and as always, SE. If you find a bike, this is really every brand. If you find a bike, what is happening with just about every brand is their shipments are coming in small doses instead of one big chunk. So, you know, you may get like, you know, I don't know, 200 to the States, and then all of a sudden. It's like, oh, they're out. And then you got to wait 4 months and all of a sudden they're here. So they're going to come in waves with all brands. Expect that. So that's out there. I did see the GT Cake Boy bike is out at, I think it was City Grounds or Albies.
Let me speak on that because that, when you said earlier you were feeling 80s vibes, man. I don't think it gets much more 80s than we were talking. You were mentioning the colorway too. Anything that's polished silver or chrome, and then like an anodized purple or a pink or lavender, whatever you want to call it, man. That that right there, it's eye-catching because that's the kind of bikes like kids that we saw riding around with, you know, those brand new shiny bikes, dude. It was like when they tricked them out, they always went with the, you know, the purples and the pinks, and here's a new bike coming out that's just like, whoa, it's eye-catching, you know, right from the gate. And I like the fact that it has the disc brake in the rear. Mm-hmm. And it's a quad angle, bro. I've always been like a fan of that geometry, that look, the reveal from the frame, dude. So
yeah,
you know, I knocked out of the park.
I rode the prototype in Galveston, and Damon had it out there, and it is a very compact and peppy bike. Gears opens up just about every terrain you want to ride on, and whatever distance you want to ride it. The sizing, the 27.5, is a great all-around size for someone that is of my age range, 80s kids that want to feel BMX-y. That's a great, even though it has gears, it just basically opens it up, unlocks. It's a cheat code. You can ride up hills and not have a stroke and have a good time on your BMX bike. So, you know, it's a fun bike, I'll tell you. And it's, you know, and it has the lower top tube, makes it easier for people like the bike life kids trying to do like leg overs, or people like me that are old and are trying to do, we call them can-cans. But if I'm trying to do a wheelie and like can-can my leg over, you know, my beer belly gets in the way. So a lower top tube is much appreciated to make me look okay for a photo or two for the gram. But anyway, you know.
Speaking of the gram, dude, I was looking at Instagram today and saw that SE Bikes had made a post about Weecho, who's on the SE team, having that bike as a brown box bike, you know, like getting it before anybody. And it said something to the effect of Weecho had to ride it because, you know, at night, or, you know, basically when everybody went to sleep at night, nobody was out on the street. He got to take it out and do work on it so nobody would see him. And I was like, oh yeah, you know, the bike life paparazzi, you don't want to get caught by them at night on a brand new bike that hasn't been released. So good for Weecho, man. He loves that bike, dude.
Dude, he did such a good job. He's had that bike for a long time too. He's had that bike in his garage for a long time. And it's been a personal thing, because I'm like, every time I see him, I'm like, bro, you got my bike. I want that bike so bad, you know? And we just joke about it, dude. And he's just like, so like, he was tagging me in all of his release photos, and I was like eating it up, man. I'm so stoked for that dude, because he's just such a fun dude, man. That dude is just like all the energy that you see in his reels. That's Tuesday. That's just him, rando Tuesday. Right. Like, that dude is just all love, all just heart. That dude is just all heart, everything. So yeah, he's fun. I'm stoked he has that bike. So that one's out. I honestly, dude, I thought I would see more monster rippers before I saw the killer quads, but I have not actually. So that's really surprised me. So I know those are coming, so just be on the lookout for that. I think those are dropping pretty quick. And that's pretty much it to round out everything that we had known about for the SE lineup since like the Sea Otter and all the prototype bikes have been dropped. That pretty much rounds out everything that we have sneak peeks into. So everything from this point on, after we see that blue monster, dude, is going to be pretty much all new, unspeculated. So if you're like me and you like to get scoops and try and catch stuff, just understand every post that Todd Lyons does has a potential and probably an 80% chance, unless it's a family photo. And even in some of those, he hides new release and prototype, and he eats that stuff up, y'all. So unless he's like at Disneyland, like he was this weekend, you know, those, you don't have to scan those pictures too hard. I don't think he's got anything hidden, but you guys I can just tell you, like, he puts stuff out there, and he'll put things randomly right in front of everybody. And you just don't, he came on our show, dude. Here's the good example. Craig, tell him the story about the LA Ripper. Oh, when he came on.
Yeah. You know, he did. And Todd's like the Where's Waldo of bike releases, because he'll be showing you like, oh, look, here's the Staples Center. And this is, you know, but if you zoom in, you see the little edge of the grip, right? Or it was something that it was barely visible, but you had to pay attention. You couldn't just thumb through it and like it. And he put the bike there for everybody to see before. And he didn't say anything about it.
No, it's a picture of his daughter. It was a picture of Angelina with like, he's like, oh yeah, drive by the Staples Center with Angelina. And literally like the LA Rippers in the back of his truck. With like the grip, like a yellow bar with like a big purple and yellow grip sticking up. And
yep.
None of us got it, dude. Like 12 people got it.
Dude. He wants you to work for it, bro. There was one where he was showing some bridge. It was in New York or Philly. I don't know where it was. It was like a bridge. But when you opened up the picture, you could see D-Blocks.
Yep.
Riding the new city bike for whatever that bridge was in. And you're like, there it is. And if you didn't look close, you missed it, dude.
Yep.
Pretty good. Todd's.
Yeah. When he came, he came on our podcast. He came on our episode, like the very first interview we did with Todd Lyons. He came and he had, at the time, he still does a bikes hanging behind him in his garage where he does his interviews. And literally the LA Ripper is hanging on the wall in front of Jesus and everybody. And just no one, you know, people after the release, people are like, oh man, purple, like it's right out there, right? It was on the podcast. Like people are just like, it's right there in front of everybody. We just didn't catch on, you know, because right. we're just like, oh, it's just a wall of bike. So anyway, take a look at Todd Lyons' Instagram and his Facebook posts, because there is more than likely going to be hints and nods to new stuff on his post. So be what am I trying to think, man? Be ready. I don't know. Be vigilant and take a look at Todd's stuff, because he's also giving away a lot of stuff, a lot of gloves lately. So yeah, follow his stuff. He's good. He's a good dude. Let's see. Next up in the release front, I'm going to tease a future guest real quick. Haro is releasing some bikes, and Damian Fulton is involved in those. Craig, tell us a little bit about that. That's a pretty cool little release, right? 24, 26, and 29 inches.
Yeah, you know, when we had Damian Fulton, who is the creator and illustrator of Radical Rick, and if you guys... excuse me, remember from back in the 80s, I'm sure you know who he is, but if you don't, Radical Rick was a cartoon character in BMX Plus magazine, and he's very, very well known around the BMX circles, especially if you're from the 80s. But if not, if you've been following Instagram and you've been checking out posts from Flight BMX, you know there's a pad set, Night Bike Co. Made a Radical Rick stem. Damian is definitely... revitalized the Radical Rick character from the cartoon series. But yeah, man, Damian, I think he teased it on our last episode when we featured him about something that may be coming out. And it's now it's out. And it's, you know, I don't know if he said it for as a bike, but he definitely has said it now. And Haro has put out a 20-inch Radical Rick BMX bike. The bike is themed with the characters from that cartoon strip, blazed across the bike and the frame, you know, the frame and the seat and the pads. And there's a number plate that goes, a race plate that goes with it. And I think we're going to get to hear a lot more about it.
Did they make a 20 inch?
Yeah, it's a 20 inch bike.
So they have a 24 or 26 and a 29 Radical Rick bike as well from Haro.
Oh, crap. I didn't know they had the whole run of the
bike. They got them all. Yep. And each one has different color. So one is blue, one is pink. I forget the other color, man. The 24 is a color, the 26 is a color, and the 29 is a color.
Was green one of them?
Might have been green. Yeah. Likely green. Wow. It's Haro, dude. Yeah, it's Haro.
Right.
It's probably blue and green. Yeah. And dude, it's really cool. Like what I like about it, dude, is like the logos and the graphics on the top tube like come out of the pad, so the story kind of continues like it's like a cartoon board, you know what I mean, like a panel or something, you know, so it's kind of like there's a story going on, like there's, you know, Radical Rick coming out from where the pad would be. And it's like, you can see movement behind him, like the little wispy drawn things. And it's just a cool layout, cool design. I wish they would have done it like on a double top, like a sport or a master, like a freestyle bike instead of a race bike. I get why it's a race bike. It's Radical Rick. But it would have been cool to see like, do it with like a sport or something like that. And I think a 26 inch sport is well overdue. They've been doing the DMC for a long time. Like, you know, and yeah. they kind of group Blyther in with the slow ride, right?
Yep.
So, yep. Or not the slow ride, why am I blanking on this one? The Xavier, the BMX. It's not slow,
the
slow ride.
Thinking the right. Yeah, it's the slow ride. It says BMX on the side, Blyther, Mendez, and I messed up. It's so Xavier.
Mike Dominguez. I don't know why I think slow. Okay, for some reason, dude. Yeah, you're right. I thought slow ride because of the Dominguez mini truck on it was like his own bike, and I spaced on like which one was the three. Like they kind of share that one, the Blyther.
Yeah,
Mike Dominguez and Xavier. All right. So anyway, I think honestly, I think a sport would be a dope Haro to make.
That would be dope. So,
and speaking of more Haro releases, Haro finally released the DMC. They released all their bikes and frames as well. So y'all, so this is kind of big news too. Most places are doing this now, which is kind of. I'm sure you're going to see some pressure on SE. Todd says he will never do it, or I've heard him say he'll never do it, but frame releases for big bikes, 26 and 29s. Race Inks was the first company that I saw do it. Then Throne started doing it. So you can just pick up a Throne frame and fork or a Race Ink frame and fork, or now the Haro Slow Ride, Pistol Pete, and then the DMC Dennis McCoy 24, 26, and the first time they made available a 29 inch Haro Master DMC, which is kind of cool, Craig.
Wow. It's cool.
29 inch Haro. It is black, silver, and yellow, which is a little odd, but it wouldn't be my first choice for the 29 release. But you know what? I'm happy just to see it. I've seen a lot of people stripping it down and painting it, and you know, putting them out there. I don't think the colorway is very popular, but
yeah, I could see the customizing definitely taking effect with those. But good for them, man. Good for starting kicking off the frame and fork release and letting folks get those who want. Because really, if you think about it, you get something like that, and if it's a complete, Haro definitely comes out with a really decent complete bike, no matter what they put out. But to get that. And be able to immediately not have to, tear everything down and have all the takeoffs and then go buy the full customized, plethora of parts you're going to put on it. You can get the frame and fork and go ahead and get started on your custom build without all the extras. So I think that's really dope.
Yep. And I will tell you this, why this is a big deal, why I would bring this up. Before this, you have seen Haro Master 29 inch bikes before. You've seen one of five that are in existence. This comes from John Bulgins, mentions it on our show. So this is like back right at the source. People have argued with me about this, and I'm like, I'm just telling you what John told me. Okay. So John, the guy that ordered them, and this is his story. I'm just retelling it. Haro in the US had one prototype ordered. They got it. It made its way out of San Diego's warehouse at the back. Haro Europe or Haro UK ordered four prototypes. Those, they went bankrupt. Those frames made it to San Diego to Haro US headquarters and also made it out into the public sector. So there are five up until this point. So when they made these available, now anybody that wanted a Haro 29 had the opportunity to get one and not have to pay this is only one of five tax that was previously available to have that bike as a 29. So that's why it's a big deal. Planet BMX has them if you're looking for them, or hit up your favorite local Haro dealer. One thing to be aware of, one thing that John Bulgins never did, John's not with Haro anymore, but one thing he never did very well is tell people how limited bikes are. He just never brought it up. I promise you, these are super limited, you guys. I promise you. Like, there's not a lot of these things out there. Go ahead.
Yeah, Greg. I mean, I was just going to say, didn't tell very much. Now, to John's credit, someone on Facebook asked about the numbers of a particular bike, right? And I can't remember which bike, but that's here and over there. John did at one time post, like, literally year by year by year, each bike
that came out.
And it's only, you know, how many of those were produced. So that part was really cool. He shared it one time, I think, if I can remember right. And that was it. So if you didn't catch it, you didn't screenshot it or whatever, DM me. I can send you that list of bikes, the year by year, and how many were produced and available. So,
yeah. It's one of those things he didn't lead with, oh, by the way. Like, most companies are like, this, you're going to have one of 50. He was just like, we ordered 50.
Right. And it wasn't a selling point. It wasn't like, we're only making 50 of these, you better jump on them. And that kind of is a testament to, like, just how good Haro bikes sell.
100%. Because I promise you, if you have a Haro big bike, I promise you, you just don't know you have a limited issue. If you look at it like the other companies that are out there, like, oh, we only made 250 of these, and that's their, like, better jump on it. There's only 250 of these.
Yeah.
Haro was like, we just have 250. Like, they were just like, it was like a low key, like, almost, it's not like it's a flex, but they just didn't flex. You know what I mean? It was just like, could have been a hell of a flex. Like, oh yeah, we only made 100 of these. And they're just like, yeah, we only ordered 100. We didn't know how it would go. You know? So it's funny like that. But anyway, Haro, if you are a Haro fan like myself, you can easily find some at Planet BMX, but I would probably act quick. There's that. What else did I see? Had a new, I thought there was one other new, GT there's has a couple. GT. Dude, is there any more I'm missing from Haro?
No.
There's a BMF, but I don't know anything about it. It's a Chad Kagi bike, I think. It's just a BMF. Yeah. It's just, honestly, it looks like a Haro. I don't know. It just looks like a regular big bike.
I don't know much about it to speak on it. Unfortunately, I saw it, but I don't remember it.
Here's the thing for me. For me, I'm 50. Tomorrow I turn 50. So I've been saying I'm 50 for like the last year, but tomorrow I truly do turn 50. Now, for me, that bike just does not have any nostalgia for me whatsoever. It's got to be a Haro Master or a Haro Sport, or I'm just not interested in it, just to be honest.
Yeah, that's
rude.
Fair.
I don't want to be rude.
No, it's fair. I mean, there's a lot of bikes, dude. And the ones that catch our eye, like, you and I both talk about this, but it's the ones that have that nostalgic look that we're familiar with. And, you know, nothing against Chad or the model of his new bike. And that's dope. I wish I knew more to talk about what it was, but it's going to be appealing to a different demo than you and I.
Oh, dude, no, I get that part of it. Yeah. The piece of like, why are they going, dude, 100% they need to go after mid school guys, because you know what? Yep. Like, the nostalgia, like us 80, like the 80s folks, we're covered, man. We've got the DMC. I just got done talking about it. We just got the DMC. I would love to see a Sport, but you know what I mean? Like, these kids that grew up with Chad's photos and stuff like that, the Sport and the Master wasn't their bike, dude. They rode a different Haro. And so they should have that. You know what I mean? Like those mid-school guys that were coming up like right in the like late 90s, 2000s, like, dude, they're 20, you know, if they were 10 then, 10 to 12 in the 2000s, you know, they're 30 right now and they're looking for, they're right on that cusp. They're going to start having kids and looking for bikes. And why would they not want to have like a Condor or, you know what I mean? Like those standard, I bet you if Rick were to go in on big bikes, it, you know, in the next couple of years, dude, like that's going to be something where the folks that grew up on standard shorties and Dows and all that stuff, they're going to be like, I want one.
Absolutely. That's what I grew up with.
So
absolutely.
That's all I'm saying about the Chad. That's the only reason I'm talking about Chad's bike. Is like, it's just not nostalgic for me. Chad would not want me as a fan because I'm too old. Like that would be, you know what I mean? He's got fans. He doesn't want
think
like
it, I 50. Think he would want you.
Chad, I love you, but it's just, I love what you're doing. I love, here's the thing. Here's what I love. I love that you have the opportunity to bring big bikes to your fans. And that's important to me because what I've seen with like, say Flatland, the sport that I grew up on, like the dudes that are doing it now are all like 35 and up. Like we don't have any kids doing it. So like, they just kind of like skipped the kids. And so you, with big bikes, man, if we're going to, we're going to continue to see this market grow, you have to keep going for the nostalgia with every generation, with every, you know, mid school, old school, you know, whatever, they're just going to keep renaming whatever schools they are, but like modern school, right, whatever, just keep doing it. You guys just keep doing it. If there's always going to be people out there that are doing what we're doing. It's science. We all get old. We all get bad knees and we all get bad backs.
Ain't you know? That the
anyway,
truth.
But that's what's fun about this stuff. So, you know, eventually you're going to see, you know, everyone have like a, their own little model. I can't wait to see what some of these guys look like what their bikes look like.
I know. Right. I like mean, I hope so.
I would love to see like a Dow or like a, like some standard, like a standard shorty. That's a big one. That'd be dope, man. Rick, I do think it. So. Okay.
Do it.
So what other bikes am I missing?
Well, a couple notables that I saw, like Technique came out with a new big bike. Not very versed again. I'm sorry, guys, on what that's all about. But if you guys are a brand loyalist to and you like Technique, that's something to go check out. You know, it's on the market. So Technique, I think we saw sneak peeks from Evil Alloy with their bike. Adam Mark put out some little sneak peek photos of some gussets that were on a frame. And I just think, you know, a lot of new stuff coming out. And cool. So keep an eye on them.
Yeah. If you're into all those brands, check them out. You can always find good stuff on Craig and I's Instagram. We always like to share cool new stuff. So, all right, moving on to bike news, or, you know, that's bike release news. Let's go to, it's, there's not a whole lot of rideouts going on right now because it's winter. I honestly, like for me, it's hard for me to get out ride because it not only is it cold, it gets dark at 5. So I'm off work and all of a sudden it's dark and cold. And to be honest, even though I live in Arizona, cold to me is like 60 degrees and I just don't want to go riding when it's that cold.
No,
when
man,
you fall when it's that cold, it hurts 10 times more, dude.
It sure does.
Sucks when you fall when it's cold.
Bro, it gets dark here at 4:50 p.m. Pacific. Yeah. Like it's like I get home from work and I'm like, I have to like just go out and work clothes and get my session in. And
yeah,
before my sweat even breaks, dude, the sun's down. I'm like, time to go home. Lights are on, dinner's ready, gotta go.
God. Adulting
so
sucks,
there's that
dude.
In the cold. But one thing I will say as far as ride outs go, out my way here in Northern California, definitely ride outs have still been going on. The Elk Grove Bike Life has been, they do their ride outs religiously. The world famous Elk Grove Bike Life, as Jason Dozier, who leads that ride, would say. In Stockton, you've got Sunday Fun Day still. They just did a huge ride out this last Sunday, which was yesterday, doing a toy drive for Christmas. There is no stopping that crew. I've ridden with that crew in the rain, in the cold. I just don't think it's like Sunday every day, you know, yeah, or Sunday every weekend. They don't stop. There's no weather. Well, it's rain or shine.
Stockton don't play. I love it. All right. I meant like big ride outs, like just not like there's nothing like a Galveston or a big city ride out that I can think of. So
not that I know.
Shout
of,
out to all the locals that are out riding, you know what I mean? That are out there putting in work. Understand, dude. I see pictures of Philly and New York, dude. And you're just like, I don't even know. I don't even know how y'all do it. Mad respect.
SoCal too, bro. LA, all the guys down there, the write out crews. I don't even want to attempt to name them all, because if I leave someone out, I don't want to offend anyone. But San Diego, you know, not big. I mean, those are big write outs, dude, like Subway 4130 series and all those. But yeah, man, those guys are hardcore and keep it rolling. And
Awesome. Dude, I've rode San Diego a couple times, man. And every time I've ridden in San Diego, it is their average ride is bigger than most rideouts I travel to.
Mm-hmm.
Like in San Diego. Like, they're big, dude.
They don't play, dude.
No, not at all. It's the ocean. I'm telling you, man. The ocean makes you want to ride bikes. So let's talk about personal bike builds, because you have a brand new Race Inc. And you have like everything on that thing, dude. Let's hear it.
Yeah. Thank you. We can talk about it. Dude, everything. I don't know. It's loaded, man. If you were to go to a bike lot like you do cars and said, give me something fully loaded, this would probably be one of those. And it's weird because, you know what, dude, I don't really ever build bikes fully loaded. You know, I kind of have my preferences and those, that's fine for a rideable bike. But this one, Isaac, yeah, man, it's a Race Inc, obviously, my bike sponsor, and Box and Cook Brothers, all the sponsors that fall underneath the umbrella of who I ride for. And give a shout out to Eva Alloy, Night Bike, Ride Out Supply. All these brands came together to make this bike what it is. And it's super dope, dude. So as far as, do you want to know about components? Do you want to know what's on the bike? All right,
Break it down.
Dude, so what was pretty exciting was Cook Brothers this year came out with some really upgraded parts. And the ones that landed on my bike were the titanium handlebars from Cook Brothers, as well as the titanium seat post. So I get to try those out. I've, you know, was lucky enough to get those to put on the bike, and I am riding those as we speak. I mean, not literally as we speak, but when I'm on a new bike, they're on the bike. Evil Alloy came out, sent a full set. They sent a stem, a seat clamp, valve stem covers, pedals. Can't forget the pedals. And everything is just legit, dude. So those came out in like an anodized orange, which for me, dude, orange was like, I was talking to Adam Mark and he's like, man, we could do a couple of these colors. It was going to be like green and white, which kind of is like, you know, another color that I've never really done, but we just settled. He's like, I'm sending you orange. So I was like, fuck, well, I guess it's going to be orange and white then. Cool. So that is literally how that bike came together as far as colorway. He did the pedals. It's the Evil Alloy, you know, the Bear Trap flat pedals. They're dude, they're in a anode orange and powder coated white. So yeah, everything's just dialed in on there. I can't forget the Cook Brothers cranks, their new cranks that are going to be coming out. They should be hitting the market anytime. Those are on the bike. Ride Out Supply provided the killer decal set, remade the Race Inc logo, Evil Alloy, Night Bike. They even Ride Out Supply also put on the freewheel in the rear. And if you guys are wondering what I run, I have a Night Bike chain ring and spider up front at 36 tooth, and I got a Ride Out Supply freewheel in the back at 16. So that's my gearing.
Cool.
Box components. They set up the Race Inks have 20 millimeter dropouts front and rear. The Racing forks have 20 millimeter. And for the front, dude, I ran the Box oversized 20 millimeter technology hub. I believe it's Box 2, 20 millimeter. And it's got a brand new, just got it today, a brand new prototype Box 1 through axle hub. So that's pretty exciting. No one's even seen it. I took photos tonight, dude, and I haven't posted them yet. So I promise when we get off this podcast, I'll shout those out and give some credit. I gotta see if I'm supposed to put it out there,
though. Right? Yeah, you don't post them until you're told you're supposed to.
Yeah, I gotta be 100% sure. And in the back, I'm just running a conventional Raysync rear hub with the dropout reducing sleeve guards and night bike chain tensioners.
Okay.
Yeah, box one V brakes and Cook Brothers brake lever, and I think that about covers it, dude.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm stoked. How's the
ride? Tell me about it.
Oh, the ride is super sweet. If you guys are out there and you're riding a Raysync big bike and you're a wheelie guy like I am, and like you're pretty rough on the front end of that bike, I do suggest if you can, if it's something that you want to look into, getting a 20 millimeter hub from Box Components to run in the front. It just it's a game changer. It's a little bit lighter, a little bit more stout and stable in the front. That's just my preference, but I do recommend that, dude. And
nice.
Yeah, man, it's smooth. It rides really smooth, really well balanced. I like the way it floats in a wheelie, and otherwise it's really sturdy and stable for just cruising around, man. It's a big bike. So it's made for ride outs, it's made for long distance, made for trick riding. Take it where you want.
Cool. Right on, dude. That sounds dope. Man,
thanks, bro.
I saw the photos and I was like, dude, that's sick. I mean, it's one of those things like, man, I gotta ride a bike to really get like into it, you know, like I want to feel what it feels like. So I have like, for me, when I see a new bike, if I haven't ridden them, for me, I just look at like, oh, how's that look? It just looks dope. You know what I mean? The colorways, I really, really like what LJ and Ride Out Supply did with the sticker kit, making like the box logo and like the orange and the black. And dude, it just looks really great, dude. I love the look of the sticker kit and all that stuff on there, dude. I've really liked it. And then just orange, man. Orange is something I haven't seen before. Huh? I wasn't expecting it. And so it was just like a nice look, dude. It just looks cool. And yeah, those pedals, man, I'm not a big fan of like those big bougie pedals, but they look great. My shins prefer not to have, scars and stitches. So I go with just generic ones. But the irony, dude, is, Evil Alloy is going to send me some platform pedals to prototype ones tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to testing some pedals and seeing. He's like, dude, I need you to break them and then tell me how you broke them. And right. I was like, all right, man, that's the, you know, just let go me, some pedals.
Yeah. Let me be honest with you about something in this bike there. Okay. So on my previous bikes, if you guys have even paid attention, if not, don't even trip. I don't know if I would either. But there, on especially on my big bikes, Isaac, there are certain components, brakes, handlebars, pedals, the things that I just prefer to do over and over again on sequential bikes, right?
Sure.
So I get used to those parts. Enough said. I mean, everyone gets that. With this one, it was a little bit different because although I just started riding the Evil Alloy cage pedals on my black Raysync, and I love them. I absolutely love the pedals. Not afraid of the cage where I was until I started riding them. But on this one, the cranks are different. The brakes are different. The lever's different. The handlebars are different. Everything is just not what I'm used to. So there was like getting out on the bike, and I don't know if you guys have ever done this, but you know, if you're trying out something new, the first thing to do is, oh, that doesn't feel right. And you want to change it immediately. But I've only ridden the bike maybe 4 or 5 times, and it's still going to take a minute to go. For instance, the handlebars, they're a little bit wider than my night bike V8s, which I swear by. Those are my favorite bars. I love them. But since the, you know, sponsor sent out parts, we're going to ride those parts and I'm going to, you know, make sure I put some miles in on them. And it takes the width of the handlebars.
How wide are the, what's that? The race? How wide are those Cook?
I'm not going to, I can't recall what they're wider than the Knights. They're okay. Wider than the Knights, but I don't know the exact true width or length,
right,
of the width. So it just, you know, what bars did you try out recently that you put on a bike and you were like, whoa, these are a little bit wider, and you know that
feeling? Dude, that's why I'm asking. Yeah. So those are the Theory Merit Montana bars. You can find them. You can find that they've rebranded those Adirondack bars, but those are Montana bars.
Montana bars.
Shout out Montana Ricky. You can't cancel the man, even though you've canceled them off your website. So those are called Montana bars. They're 33.5 inches wide. I've never run handlebars that wide before, dude, and they feel dope. Okay, so, and this is what it is, dude. I feel like it's a little bit easier to pull up, or it's not easier to pull up, but when you have the wheelie up with your hands that far out, it's like if you do a pull-up and your hands are wide, the wider your hands are for a pull-up, the easier it is to do a pull-up. You know what I mean? If you're like, you know, and I'm doing a pull-up motion, right? Like the farther your hands are out, it just seems like they're comfortable, man. I bought two pairs. I bought a pair from my camo big flyer, and I bought a pair for the PK Ripper, the two bikes I was riding the most. So I love the really wide Montana bars. Loved them.
Right. Okay. I pulled up the specs on the bars, Isaac. So these are, looks like they're 30 inches wide. Doesn't sound as, they're not as wide as the Montana bars. And for some reason, when I go to pull up, maybe you can try, but I go to pull up the Knight Bike website, it is shut down. It's like closed for the winter. With a little message saying we're closed and we'll be returning. So I, without going out and getting my tape measure out, bro, I have no freaking clue. But the Cook Brothers bars have a 7.5 inch rise. They're 30 inches wide, and they got 12 degrees of back sweep and 2 degrees of up. So that's that.
Yeah, dude. It's a bummer. I can't get to the, I think Knights were 28.
Yeah. So they're that too, you know,
yeah,
size matters.
Yeah, well, dude, I mean, the width of those is the 33, dude, I'm telling you, is comfortable. And if you don't like it, you can always trim them down. I love the idea of just give me a really wide handlebar and let me decide how wide I want it. You know what I mean? So that way I get to kind of decide on the shape and all that stuff. But
yeah,
dude, really enjoy. I really enjoy them. I hate the shape. I hate the look of the bar, the Montana bars. I also not a big fan of like the look of the like big honkin bars either, like the super big honkins or anything. I just don't like that shape. I prefer a BMX looking handlebar because that's what I grew up with. You know, like the two piece bar that's just, you know, I know everyone loves a four piece bar and they just think that is the coolest looking thing, man. It just was never my favorite at all. Like Peregrine Q bars with the whatever it is, that like five bar thing, that looked cool. Yeah. The knee saber bars were always cool to me.
I don't think I have a friend in BMX who knows more about handlebars than you, or B, who has tried more handlebars over his lifetime than you. You are a huge like handlebar nerd and you love handlebars. And if I ever have a question about them, I'm going to you.
Let me just tell you, dude, I have not met a pair of handlebars I don't love. That's a God's honest truth. I've had this issue with handlebars since the first time I swapped a pair of handlebars and felt how different my bike felt. And I'm like, I don't have to buy a whole new bike, dude. I can just save up $25 and just change the handlebars. And that is a whole new bike, man. So dude, yeah. I love handlebars. I just love handlebars, man. I think because this is the one thing I stare at the most when I'm riding my bike is like, I'm looking ahead and I always have whatever shape the handlebars is. That's what I'm looking at, dude. So like, if I get bored on my bike, I always just subconsciously, I'm like, I need to change my handlebars. Like, that's what it is.
Hello.
But, I love handlebars, man. I like the feel that each one has to give you just a completely different ride on your bike. And you know, everything from the height, you know, differences to the upsweep, the back sweep, the width, all that, dude. So
Bro, do you change your grips whenever, like when you change out handlebars to a different style or a different make, model, whatever you want to call it, do you always change grips or what do you do with those?
Dude, I'm glad you asked. So this is the issue that I'm running into. So I will use because I change handlebars so much, I try and find, if it's cable brake, I always try and find like those old Diacomp brake levers because they have the hinge and I don't have to take my grips off. So that way I can just, it's for me, it's the time. I don't want to like pull the bar ends off. And honestly, like lock on grips are great, but nobody makes a good lock on grip that I like to look at or feel. So it's literally like I have to get out the air compressor and like, wake everybody up. So that sucks. But dude, if I could just buy 10 pairs of the same grip and the grip color, and just have it on hand, and then I could just slide them on and then swap out from any of the, like where I could just literally walk over, undo the four bolts on my stem, undo the hinge on the brake, change my handlebar that quick, bro. The amount, did you hear the joy in my voice?
I heard
that,
it, dude.
That ability. So no, I don't, it just depends, dude. I try not to take the grips off, but sometimes you have to. Like if it's a hydraulic brake, they don't. You got to do that. It's just time consuming. So, I don't like. Okay, so I like handlebars. I don't like new grips. Getting new grips sucks, dude, because you have to break them in, and you know, like sometimes they're not. Because out here, dude, it matters because it's your hands just sweat, dude. So like your grip is like legit a problem. Like your hands get kind of your gloves get a bit sloshy. And so that film and that gunk, you got to get all that nasty buildup disgustingness and get it to like stick on your grip over. Yeah. And that only happens from riding, dude. Because if not, dude, the first like. First ride on new grips, death wish, man. Your hand's going to go flying. You know? You're just going to be that dude on a meme. Like, what happened?
I was definitely thinking about, like, you know, the feel of new bars as you described it. And then it's like, well, if I have these grips on there, the bar feels this way. But if I just change the grips on these new bars, then you get a different feel altogether right there. But, you know. Yeah, you're
right. Oh, dude, I'll tell you my new like the next wormhole I'm gonna go down. I already bought the grips. I'm already in trouble. So I started hanging out at Average Joe's ride shop because Phoenix Bike Company shut down. Sean moved over to Average Joe's. They picked up the sponsorship that was going on with like Phoenix Bike Company. So now I'm ride for Average Joe's, and so with Average Joe's, they also sell scooters, and with that means scooter grips. So amongst the grips, I'm like, bro, what are those right there? He's like, oh, those are scooter grips. I'm like, is it the same width? Like, is it the same diameter? He's like, yeah. You know, he's like, they're thicker. They're chunkier.
No collar?
And no collar. No. They're flangeless. And all it is, dude, it's like a thicker grip. You know, it's like a little bit girthier of a grip is the only way I can describe this. Like you take a BMX grip that's like a BMX grip, and then if you were to just take duct tape and wrap it around your grip, you know, for a bit, and it just expands it. Now ESI makes a bigger grip. They call it like a chunky grip or something for mountain bikes. And so that's where I've seen it before. And I was like, oh, okay, that works for mountain bikes. Maybe I'll try it. So it feels like a pretty comfortable grip. But I'm going to see if I like the thicker, scooter style grip versus a BMX width and see like what that does for like hand fatigue. Cause that's really where my biggest issue is, dude, is like after a while it's my hand starts to get cramped from, that's what brings me down off wheelies. It's more like the grip. There gets a point where I'm like, I don't trust being able to lock this if I start the loop.
So okay. Well, inquiring minds want to know. So when you get that information, when you test ride all those grips and stuff, please let us know, man, because now I'm kind of interested. At first, I thought you were going to say you were going to get into scooters, and then I was about to, you know, log off the podcast. But
yeah, dude, no, I don't have enough insurance for that. I don't have enough insurance.
Scooter grips. All right.
Think about it. Like, it's just a thicker, you know, and I remember in baseball, people experimenting with like the, you know, a bigger padding on your bat. And, you know, it makes sense. Like, people do it with golf clubs all the time. So I'm just curious. Let's see.
No, go.
Why
for
not?
It.
I ain't got nothing but time. And I think these grips cost me $15. So, you know, they're not too expensive. Yeah. If they suck, I'll cut them off. It's not a big deal. All right. Where are we going? Okay. Bikes. Back to bikes. So handlebars. And you keep, you know, you keep some things, but adjusting to your new bike and these parts.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at with it. I mean, to close this out, dude, and just let you know, I'm going to keep riding and getting used to, because, you know, I'll throw it out there. I'm used to riding. And this is probably the biggest thing I have to get used to is the brakes. I ride Paul component, brakes and in the rear and the lever up front. I'm used to the way that I dial it in, you know, and, this is different. There's, you know, nothing wrong with the box V brakes, but it is going to take some time to get used to. Cool stop brake pads. I'm used to those, but, it's just a different muscle memory that you got to figure out, you know, and it comes real quick. It's not crazy different, but you know, it's like an adjustment that needs to happen. Yeah,
sure.
That's it.
I understand that, dude. Yeah. I can relate to that because like I started building I literally just finished wrapping it up, a 26 inch Supercross. That was SX 250 race bike. It's the Supercross 33 anniversary. They made 50 of those frames. It's the six bar, it's chrome. And I was like, dude, all I've ridden is SE. That's all I've had. I had that Haro and the Haro 26. I had that and, you know, I could wheelie it, but it was kind of like, it wasn't as good as like my PK. And then when I got the big flyer, like I just like those better. So I just the Haro 26 has just sat in my garage, honestly, been just there collecting dust. I feel bad, but, and I've tried to do things to like it more. I bought different handlebars. I bought some knee saver. Of course I bought different handlebars. I bought some knee saver handlebars that I found at Robbie's in Stockton and put those on it thinking like, oh, that'll make me like it more, you know, making it more nostalgic. And it just didn't, I don't know, man, it didn't fill my love cup riding it. And so, you know, there's one thing where you're like, you're fighting it. You're like, I want to like this. Now looking down and seeing the double top tube and going like, this is a Haro Master, that absolutely took place. But wanting to make it my daily rider that I'm riding, doing wheelies and all that stuff on, did not. So this was like, I was kind of going into this 26 build going like, man, 26s are just not for me. I don't like them. And I just haven't ridden one that I like, to be honest with you. So, you know, I'm not reluctantly building this. I want to see what it looks like. And I'm like, this is just going to be a fun bike to ride. So, you know, started piecing it together, looking at it. And then Bill sent over from Supercross, sent over some carbon fiber handlebars. And I'm like,
hey,
of course, handlebars. Again, here we go. If I start to fall, I'm saving the handlebars. You know what I mean? Like, they're expensive for me. That's something that's like,
oh yeah,
big ticket item, man. So I was like, I want to try those out. So I built this bike up using like the wheels off of my Haro 26, some extra SEV Ridge cranks. I like SE cranks. So like, I just built it with, parts I had around the garage, C post. It was like, I could give you a parts list, but it's like, I don't know. It's a whole lot of I don't knows.
I love that.
Catalog stuff. So basically, here's what it is. I'm at the shop. Take the frame in there. I'm like, here's the stuff I know I have. I need a Euro bottom bracket. They're like, we got an MCS one. Okay, cool. That'll work. Throw it on here. Then I put the SE cranks on it. Then I'm like, pedals. I had some extra pedals in my toolbox. So whatever brand those are, like, that's what's on this. Then the wheels, the 26 inch wheels off of my Haro TMC. The back pegs are just black SE pegs, the SE Bike Life pegs. The stem and the handlebars are Speedline and Supercross. And that's because it has that 31.8. I don't know if your titanium bars do this too, but it's a 31.8 clamping surface. So it's a thicker surface than a typical BMX handlebar or like a night bike stem.
Yeah, my box handlebars on my 26 race bike have the 31.8 Cook Brothers stem linked up with the box handlebars. So yeah.
Yep. So yep. Are they carbon handlebars?
No, they're not carbon. And that's a good, I was going to ask you real quick. Can I ask you this?
Yeah.
How is the stem and handlebar point of connection? Is it pretty, you know, you think with carbon fiber, it's a very smooth surface, and what, you know, usually
oh, I metal can't wait bars to tell you. Are knurled. Yeah. Nope. I'll tell you. Okay. So
okay.
I'll get to that part.
Okay.
So yeah, it's got a Speedline 31.8 stem. With the oversized clamp, just regular old ODI grips, box three. I just bought some box three, a brake kit that they had there because it was cheap. And then I think I bought like the most expensive thing, or the thing that I splurged on, was like the KMC like cool chain or whatever. That half link chain, just because I think it looks neat. I was like, that looks nice. And then George from Night Bike Co. sent over a seat post clamp, a sprocket and a spider to go on there, and so like it's dialed, dude. It looks really nice. It's chrome and it has Supercross in red and blue like decals. So then I went red and blue with like the parts, and then I put the Speedline Carrera seat, which is kind of interesting. That's got some tech that you don't understand until I tell you about it. So I'll tell you about that in a sec too. So you know, for me, box three is an upgrade because I'm typically riding like whatever stock breaks it, like SE. I'm usually like my big flyer that I've been riding for the year has Tektro, whatever the $20 Tektro brakes on it. Right. All I do is put on cool stop pads and everything's fine for me. That's fine. So this one, dude, having box three, I'm like, oh, this is bougie. I feel like it's super fancy, you know, for me. And so like, I'm digging them. It was cost effective, just to buy the kit. It was like a blue and black thing, so it matched, but the brakes work great. The stem and the handlebars, dude. Okay. So I definitely feel like the bike is light to begin with. The bike is made out of chromoly, 4130 Reynolds chromoly. Only 50 of these frames made. They are chrome and they are dope. The geometry, though, is where I'm like, dude, this is it. I couldn't wait to call you and tell you about it. And then that's why I was like, bro, we're podcasting tonight. And if you were like, I can't, I'll be like, call me then. I'm going to tell you about this bike. Okay. So the one thing that I love about 80s bikes is the one thing that we were always doing. And I don't know why I will always remember this stuff, but it was clearly, this was important to me because I can't tell you, you know, like history dates to save my life, but I can tell you like, oh, I can't remember numbers. Here we go. Let's just check this out. The Haro that I used to love, 72 degree head tube angle. The GT, I think, was a 72 as well. Might even been 71. The Trickstar had a 74 degree head tube angle. So for some reason, I just memorized all these random numbers, right? So I knew that steep head tubes meant easier boomerangs. To 12-year-old Isaac, that's what I understood reading the magazines. So right. I've been telling everyone, dude, we need big bikes with steeper head tube angles. No one has listened at all. I get on this bike and I'm like, this feels really good. It's peppy. I text Bill, our friend Bill from Supercross. I'm like, dude, this bike is super peppy. He's like, yeah, it's race geometry. It's like 80s race geometry. I was like, of course. I'm thinking, of course it is. But of course it is, because everybody takes a retro design and makes it modern geometry. They're like, it's the design, it's the da-da-da I used to love with modern geometry. Cool. Right. My brain has old geometry memorized. It does not have current geometry memorized. So when I jump on the Supercross, like the 26, it's an SX 250, 26. When I get on it, it's got a 73 degree head tube angle, bro. It's a steeper head tube than my Haro Master and my Skyway Street Beat. Like, this is a boomerang bike, dude. And I'm like, it's a big bike. This is crazy. And you feel it. Like, you're turning and you're like, this is exactly the way I say this about the PK. This is the way my brain remembers my bike moving. This mm-hmm. has a steeper head tube angle. So this is even more so that. Now, I was worried that I'm going to feel really cramped on the bike. That was like my biggest thing, because on the Haro, I was cramped, dude. I'm just going to be honest with you. But the head tube angle being 73 degrees pushes your handlebars farther forward. Then the seat tube angle is 73. So that's more kickback. So it's basically steeper. So I'm out, and the seat tube angles push back. Where, like to give you an example, like another 26, you would know, an OM Flyer. Mm-hmm. OM has a 71 head tube or a 73 degree seat tube and a 71 head tube. So you're sitting farther forward with more raked out in the front.
What's your top tube length on it?
20, I think it's 22 and change.
Oh, that's legit, dude.
Yeah, it's long.
Especially with the way you described the head tube and seat tube angle with a 22 and a half or something.
Right. Yeah. Cause if your forks are sticking out, you know, and I'm making I'm guessing is a 72 degree head. We're on Zoom, so Craig can see my hand at a 72 degree. The tubes come back this way. Right. So as I make this steer tube like steeper, I have to make this longer, right? So
right,
the head
right,
tube,
right.
The top tube gets longer. So it does feel a little bit more stretchy. It feels a little bit more sharp turning, aggressive or faster turning. Feels great. It's a good, great feeling bike. I got on it. Even it's just like a budget thrown together with parts that I don't even know what they are. The parts I know, V-Ridge cranks. Right.
Yeah,
I trust those. I'm like, never had a problem with those. So those are going to be on there forever until whatever, you know what I mean? Like, none of the stuff is cheap. Like the seat post generic, but like, I'm not jumping on the seat like I was as a kid. I don't really expect to bend a seat post, just sitting on it and not doing craziness. So like,
no.
It's a good solid bike. The frame that it's built off of feels very comfortable. I was able to do like leg over wheelies. I did like a can-can wheelie, one-handers. I can, you know, do it circles, and you know, it's just easy
awesome,
to control.
Man.
It's easy to control, dude.
That's rad. Yeah. I love the way you describe putting it together too, because that just reminds me of, you know, guys from our era or whatever. You guys, that's how we put bikes together. At least how I did. I didn't really have the funds to go into a bike shop and just pick parts off the wall and go, oh yeah, that one, that matches and that matches. You know, I didn't have what I, you know.
Hell no, dude. Nobody did.
Yeah, no one did. So, you know, I like how, first of all, it's chrome. It's 4130. Yeah. And I'm like, you got me. Yeah. And then you're putting all this awesome stuff on it too. So, you know, I'm glad
fun,
to hear
dude, it's fun to try something that's not, you know, like literally all I know is SE. That's it, man. Like,
yeah.
You know, like I was like, man, found SE. I'm like, one and done. This is great. And they like those bikes are dope. SE makes like Todd nails it. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. he gets it. He's like, I wheelie these things, so I know exactly what I want from these bikes, and they're great. And it was so nice to get on a bike that's like, I can wheelie it, but it also has a steeper head tube, man. So it's just more. A little bit more aggressive, man. The only way I can describe it, dude, is your brain will remember exactly what I'm talking about when you get on it. Then going back to your question about carbon, I've never ran this stuff. I had to go and like Google and watch a bunch of YouTube. So it is what you do is you got to get yourself a torque, like an Allen wrench, or I get a hex wrench. We call them Allen wrenches, but like with a you know, like Newton meters on them, and you got to set it. You got to set it to the correct Newton meter of like the torque, because you will clamp it down. Now, your question, is it knurled? It's super knurled, dude. I don't know how they do it.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's a one piece. It's like one piece monocoque. Like, I don't know how to pronounce it, dude, but like piece of carbon that they build around it. It's nuts. It is stiff. So if you like, you look at like aluminum is also stiff, but you typically run, you know, chromoly handlebars, and chromoly flexes. So you don't feel every rock, every little bump, every little uneven surface. Like, you feel it, but you throw some carbon bars on, you really feel it, bro. Like,
wow,
they are stiff and they are light, and you really feel like you're in control. And I don't know if it's the bars and or if it's the geometry. I would have to
or the combination.
Yeah, I would have to put the bars on another bike, and then go ride that to give you like a really accurate. But I can tell you that the combo is phenomenal. So I do definitely believe in the. I can't wait for BMX to adopt the 31.8 stem clamp area as the way to go, because it definitely adds more rigid and less like lateral flex that you can feel when you're here's the thing: when kids start swerving using 31.8 handlebar surfaces, you're going to see them cut even harder, because that handlebar and that, it's just less flex in that front end stem that they could be losing with the chromoly handlebar. So stuff like that, dude. And I could be wrong. I mean, it just, to me, physics says the stiffer the front end, the more they can throw it. So, and it looks, I don't swerve, but I see them throwing their weight, you know, one way quickly and down into the right. Let's say if you're swerving left, it's like you throw your weight down into the right to make that left swerve. And so having like more like a stiffer front end, I feel like they would be able to throw their weight even harder.
You would be able to snap it harder. Sharp. It would be sharper.
Yeah. So
I guess
stuff like that, dude. Yeah. But it's one of those things, dude. Like it, like the physics of it makes sense, but that kind of stuff, like it feels nice. It's a great feel for a bike. And like, I've just enjoyed riding it. So it's been fun to just kind of put around on it and have some fun in the air quote cold for Arizona. It's 60, dude, but it's cold to me. Man, it's been fun. It's given me a lot of like 80s vibes. It's given me a lot of 80s feels, and that's what I really wanted. Especially because, like, psychologically, we'll do this on another episode, dude. But I want to talk about the psychology of like getting older, because I've joked for the whole year about like, oh, I'm 50. You know, I'm the 50-year-old guy, blah, 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 blah. And tomorrow, dude, so, you know, tonight, it's what, in 3 hours and 20 minutes, I actually do turn 50. And in Arizona, you're an hour behind me. So
right,
I'm in the future.
I always, you know what, I got confused, dude, because I always thought from our shows and stuff when us talking, I thought your birthday was on the 21st.
Yeah,
it's the 22nd. It's the 20th. Yeah. So yeah, you're getting, 20th. Dude, you're old. Yeah, I'm just gonna say it.
I want to talk about it, because it didn't affect me at all until like, I would say like the last month. It started to really like, I'm like, dude, here's what it did, dude. It dawned on me, and maybe I don't want this to be dark, but I didn't expect to make it to 50, dude. I'm just gonna be honest with you. When I was a kid, I did not expect
you to made be it, dog. You made old. It. Congratulations. It's a milestone, bro. It's 50 years old. Is when it's like, we got milestone birthdays, you know, you turn 16 and then you're 18, 21, and then boom, you got like 29 more years and then 50. And it's like, you're there. You did it. You got there, bro. And I get there are emotions attached to this stuff, but
it's weird. It's a trip. And I think the most difficult thing is realizing like, I'm 50, I'm an old guy, and accepting that, because here's a problem, dude. and I don't know if everyone feels this way, but like at 50, I get on a bike and I'm instantly whatever my favorite year was on a bike. Like I'm emotionally that decade. I am living that decade. I'm talking that decade. And it's a time machine, dude. I go back to there. And the problem is, like, I was thinking about the other day, because like, it's like, man, I hate being the old guy. And like, how come like people treat me different? Like, how come like the young kids are like different around me? Like, that's weird. Because I feel like I'm an immature, just idiot, right? Because I'm on my bike. But then I'm thinking about it. I'm like, dude, if I was like 15, 16, and like some old fucker with like a beard that looks like Santa with tattoos all over him, like making questionable life choices, it's like, hey guys, I want to ride bikes with you too. And they start doing like kind of doing tricks, but not doing them as good as I do them. I'd be like, the hell is wrong with this dude? So I get it. Yes. I get it. So I understand, like, it dawned on me, like, okay, how, because I was always like, I never really know where I fit in, right? Because like the dudes that are of my generation, right? They just enjoy pedaling their bikes and riding and the camaraderie. And dude, I love that. I love the sitting on the curb in front of Gas and Sip at the, you know, afterwards you know, hanging out, Slurpees. And like, I love that moment. I love that stuff. But while I'm riding my bike, I want to do wheelies and I want to be out like on the street where I'm not going to get like, you know, hit. And there's not like people walking on these, you know, or scooters or like those little like hover whatevers, you know, or any of that stuff. Like, I don't want to get smashed on by somebody. Yeah. Like the one wave, the one boards, whatever or those stupid Nest scooters. Like, I just don't want to get smashed on by like something else. So the street, at least I can see, like I can go with traffic and I can kind of like control at least my destiny a little bit from one direction. At least that's more than I get on a sidewalk or on like smaller bike paths. So I can't really have a great time riding with like the dudes my age. I'm like, I don't really fit. Gosh, you guys, I'm sorry. I have hiccups and I don't know how to stop them, but, it feels like I don't fit in. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, where do I go? Am I the old narc? Like, is this 21 Jump Street? You know what I mean? At the young kid ride, or do I go to the old guy ride? It's not I don't want to say old guy because that sounds bad, but like the my age ride guys, the old school guys that don't want to, they don't do wheelies and they just, you know, they're like, they just want to pedal their bikes, and that's cool, but that's just not me.
I think that if I can throw my two cents in, I think you have the best of both worlds. And we all look at stuff from different vantage points, right? We have different optics on how we view stuff and how we have our, you know, perceptions of it, whatever. I'm not a psychologist, but I'm just saying, I think you got the best.
I watch a lot of TV.
I watch a lot of go on WebMD a lot, bro. But
I'm not a psychologist, but I've been on Dr. Phil's audience before. So
exactly. The best of both worlds, bro. You could, you know, I see you out there. I see you out there wheeling and floating around, and you know, people are like high fiving you, and that's dope. And you're riding you're in that stream, dude. There is no age group in that. That's just having rad fun and rad times. And then, you know, you can go hang out and walk over to the guys our age and be like, what's up, dudes? And you're there too. And I think as long as you're having fun, doing what you do, because I really look at this and I'm not far from, you know, I'm right behind you in the age thing. You know, I tease you because you're my bro. I call you old, you're older than me. Therefore you're kind of like my senior, but only by a couple weeks.
Yeah, let's get into that, Craig. I wasn't going to bring it up every time you're like, yeah, you're old. Y'all, Craig's birthday is like a week after mine. A week.
Almost. It's more like 2 weeks. So, but
it's in the same fucking month.
No, I'm in January.
What is your birthday?
The first. New Year's. So, I get the credit. My birthday's next year, bro.
It's so funny. Yes, I'll be the old guy. You're the young buck.
I like it. You know what? Let me tell you this, man. And I'm not here to preach at you or anything. I think it's just, you know, I've had this too coming up, bro. I was like, oh, man, 50, that sounds old and all this, but I've always been under this, like, I don't really look at my age on calendar. I think it's just like, that's a calendar thing. It's like what's really inside me as far as like how I view stuff, my energy, my outlook. Sure. That's just me. That doesn't work for everyone. But I found myself like getting anxious because I know this is coming up. So it's just like, I keep, you know, last couple of weeks of your 40s, dude, you know, you turn that corner, but
yeah,
that's how I look at it, bro. You're not old at all. I'm not old. It's you know, you and I both kind of have a very similar path as far as what we do. You know, we got the show, we ride out and we go out and ride 20 miles and we wheelie and we do all this stuff in it, and we can go to different little crowds and you know, kind of find our little spot within those circles. And that's just where we're at, man. And yeah,
100%.
Our driver's license say we're 50, but hey, man,
100%, dude. I tell people,
we're out doing it, bro. We're out having fun.
This is what I tell people. You know, what I've realized is getting older. This could sound dark. Don't let it, but understand where I'm coming from.
Right.
I understand that I have less rides in front of me than I do behind me. So the ones in front of me have more value to me right now. Every single day has a little bit, like, when I tell you I don't have time for your bad energy, I fucking mean it. That's the difference. You know what I mean? Like, don't have time for your bad energy. Some people are like, I don't want to put up with it. I'm over here like, bro, I'm 50. I don't have time for it. You know what I mean? Like, I just want to watch you ride wheelies and I want to watch you like get better. That's what I want. I don't have time to like listen to your drama with X, Y, or Z. That's what I don't have time for. Like, you know what I mean? So that's where I'm coming from. This is more of that kind of a stuff. So
that night, yeah, you know, I'll read on Facebook or something and someone would like, hey, I'm 42. I'm too old to ride a bike. I'm too old to get out there. And I'm, you know, there's that I'm too old. And I don't want to tell anybody that what they're feeling is not valid, but I'm also want to be like, hey, dude, if you want to do it and you're using your age as something, I can understand if you have a medical condition, if it's, you know, you've got an injury or whatever that keeps you from it. But please, if you, you know, if you're 42 years old and you're saying you're too old to ride a bike, I say, give it a try. And just start, just get on it, get a bike, get on it and pedal to the end of your street and back and go, you know what? That's day one. And I'm going to it because you can, I believe that you can revitalize some of those years, bro. Look at us, you know, we're having the time of our lives. I hope somebody who thinks, you know, or if that's your mantra, like I'm too old. Okay. I get it. But I hope you give it a shot. I'd love to ride with you and hang
fuck
out.
That. Fuck that. Yeah. Here's what I will tell you.
Okay.
I found big bikes again in 2020. And before that, I was not riding any miles a week, any, none. Here we are. It is the end of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And we're out doing, you know, 20 mile ride outs, riding wheelies, doing everything that we did when we were kids, talking about Time Machine. So, are you too old? I said the same thing. But if you have that, like, I'm too old, I'm too fat, I'm too X, Y, or Z, I do the same thing. I call bullshit. Like, try it. Just get it. I mean,
give it a try.
Get out and ride a bike. Trust me. Yeah. I am on a mission to save you from buying a mountain bike or a road bike. That is my thing. Cause like everybody my age is like mountain bike. Maybe it's because I live in Arizona, but they're like mountain bike or road bike. And I'm like, if you want to go ride with angry dentists, go do it. Have a great time. But if you want to have fun with dudes you grew up with, the dudes that were like at the Limp Bizkit concert, like that kind of like annoying dudes that you grew up with riding BMX, we're all riding big bikes. So come on over. The party's fun. Jump on in. We love you. Even if you don't ride, doesn't matter. How, like, I, you can sit on a curb, dude. You can just hang out and sit on a curb on your bike. And we're going to be like, you are our favorite friend. Like, that's
keep rolling, truth. Baby.
100%, dude.
So, I had to throw in the Limp Bizkit.
Keep on rolling. Man, what does that do? I wonder what Fred Durst, like, what do you think Fred Durst is doing right now? Do you think he's just sitting around with a fucking with a red New York hat, just going like, God damn, the 90s were good. Do you think that's what he's doing? What's he doing right now? Fred Durst.
Man, I think he's still got that ball cap on backwards. And probably it's in his advertisement for, you know, Fred Durst Insurance. And I don't know.
100%, dude. I bet he's doing like cameos or something, like,
yeah,
you can get like a birthday wish from Fred Durst for $20. I don't know, dude. What up, Fred? I hope somebody knows you and sends this to you. We love you. Thanks for the memories. Keep rolling.
Keep all rolling, baby.
Rolling. I mean, dude, they went high and then just died, dude, like instant. You know what I mean? Like, it was that whole era, the whole
corn. They got my $20 though, dude, or 40. Yeah. I might have bought 2 Limp Bizkit CDs. I'm just saying. I'm not going to front.
Did you not have LimeWire? What the hell is wrong with you, Craig?
I did have LimeWire later, bro, but, you know, I didn't have an MP3 player. But to roll in my car, you know, I had a CD player. I had to buy the CDs.
Yeah. I had the radio, bro. I was not trying to buy CDs because I lived in Stockton, dude. Like you had anything in there, dude. It was stolen. Just, you know, like, it was just stolen right away. Like,
I got you.
Not at all, dude. The minute you got like you pull out stereo, they would steal the cage. You know what I mean? Stockton cool. Didn't play.
They're like, cool, it pulls out.
Dude. Yeah. I think I remember I got like some, I didn't even get Dayton's, dude, but I got some wire wheels. I mean, they lasted like a week before my car got nicked. Dude, it was like
Zeniths?
No, they weren't even Zeniths, dude. They were like whatever knockoffs. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. They looked cool for a week. Then my car got nicked. And so, like, I was just like, this sucks. Cars suck. I hated it, but yeah, man, like, get out, ride your bikes, have fun. That's the moral of our long-winded story.
100%.
Find the bikes,
damn bike.
Yeah, find the bikes that you like. If you're nostalgic like Craig and I, there are brands out there. Haro's making bikes, GT's making bikes, SE's making all the bikes from your childhood that you want, the quads, the PK rippers, Redline's making bikes, Race Inc. Is making bikes, Kuahara is making bikes,
Supercross
is making bikes, everybody, Throne is making bikes. If you're like into just wanting to get a good big bike, you can find Throne out there. There's some other brands, but I won't even mention them. Like, they have zero nostalgia for the other two. And you guys that are listening would have no idea what those brands are anyway. You'd be like, what? Who are those? And so, yeah. Where was I going with that? God damn it. I had something, Craig.
Keep on rolling, baby, out your mind. Yeah. Fred Durst.
Damn it. Okay. There's nostalgia. You will find bikes that you like. My biggest advice, get out there, ride bikes, find the one that you like. Because when I started, there was no bikes. You just had to just blind jump. Now there's enough bikes on the market to where you can usually find them in shops or find them with local ride out crews. If you just like, hey, I want to ride a bike, I want to see what it's like. I do not know a ride out group that will not welcome you with open arms and let you try a couple bikes. If you meet up, you know, like a meetup parking lot somewhere, and just say, find the ride leader and be like, hey, can I come out and see some bikes? Just about everyone in the world will be like, absolutely, come out, check it out. And then you can find a bike you like. There's a ton out there. There's a lot of stuff that will rekindle the nostalgia and the feels for you. There's a lot of cool stuff happening in 2023. Frogtown, Dirty Fest. I believe SE is trying to do another island ride out or some other big ride out. Nice. There's some big stuff going on. So 2023 is looking like a lot of fun if you are a big bike fan. Lots of new products coming out. I know Evil Alloy sending over those pedals to try. I'm going to put them on the Supercross. And Adam's like, dude, I need you to break them. I was like, bro, I've never broke pedals in my life, but I'm going to go try and break.
You're going to give it a try though, right?
Yeah, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to do my darndest, dude. All right, Craig, I think that's it for the show. Let's start kicking it off with 2023 is going to be epic, and I can't wait to see what we do next year. Send us out, Craig.
You got it, man. Thanks, everybody, for showing up here on one of our last audio stream podcasts. Isaac and I were talking about keeping it rolling. We're going to keep Big Bike BMX rolling. You know what we do here. So get ready for 2023. Big Bike BMX, Isaac Irvine. I'm 80s BMX Craig. This is Big Bike BMX.